business mileage reimbursement. This is another area of great difficulty for employers and advisors, and one that will be scrutinised again by HMRC officers when they come calling. My starting point is to test expense claims for evidence of the cost being incurred, which is why I will want to examine the evidence of business mileage recording. Too often, claims are accepted without challenge or testing, when the standard of mileage recording is just not good enough. HMRC officers will challenge mileage claims ending in a 0 or 5, because they see these as estimated or round sum claims. Business mileage recording needs to be tested by the employer and should be accurate, and the mileage log, or the expense claim, should confirm that the mileage claimed is business mileage, not ordinary commuting or other private mileage. Employees and directors should be required to identify the starting and finishing points of any business journey where reimbursement is being claimed. And whilst this does not need to be very detailed, it should be better than just Bristol to London. It should be where in Bristol to where in London, who is being visited, why, the business reason. That's what HMRC officers will be looking for. It gets worse, really, if an employee is provided with a company fuel card or credit card to purchase fuel. The employee may have to record private and business mileage. Unless it's accepted that private fuel is provided in a company car, and a company car fuel scale charge is declared on the form P11D. This often is not the case nowadays because the fuel scale charge is so expensive and it's going up. The point I wish to emphasise is that mileage records have to be kept and they must be tested for accuracy, perhaps using software like the Autoroute Express software that I use at home, inserting the home postcode of the employee or director and the destination postcode to establish the correct mileage figure. Having dealt with the accuracy of the recorded mileage, I want to address the issue of the rate of reimbursement, which should depend on whether the employee is using a company car or their own car. We have the authorised mileage rates for employee cars. This is the amount that can be reimbursed tax-free to an employee using their own car on business, and it's fairly simple. They mustn't exceed the authorised mileage rates. An employer can pay less, no problem. If the employer pays more, we have a tax liability. The rates, fairly standard for company cars and vans, the first 10,000 business miles can be reimbursed at 40 pence a mile. Any business miles over 10,000, it has to be reduced to 25 pence a mile. And there's also a passenger rate, which can be paid of 5 pence per mile, if a passenger is being carried on a necessary business journey. There's a motorcycle rate of 24p, and there's a cycle rate of 20p. The big issue here is about the business mileage recording, and as I've already said, it needs to be accurate. The main problem that I look for when I'm carrying out a review is where the annual business mileage might exceed the 10,000 mile limit. And if a cumulative record has not been kept, there may be an excess which should have been taxed. So if the rate reimbursed is not reduced from 40 pence a mile after 10,000 business miles, there's going to be an income tax and an NIC's liability. So the warning for you and your clients at the end of the day is there recording of business mileage? Is it accurate? And does it take into account employees doing high business mileage where it should be reduced from 40p to 25p after 10,000 miles? Okay, let's move on and look at company cars. The advisory fuel rates for company cars that can be reimbursed tax-free, published by the revenue on a regular basis, and those have to apply really unless there's a valid P11D dispensation or some evidence to justify different rates. And so the HMRC publishes its guidelines on fuel-only mileage rates, and the latest information at the time of doing this podcast is that the rates are changing from the 1st of January 2008. The advisory rates are to be applied when employers reimburse employees for business travel in their company cars. That seems the obvious one. But of course, they also apply if an employee is to repay the cost of any private fuel used, where perhaps they have a fuel card or a company credit card on which they purchase all fuel. The advisory fuel rates that are effective from 1st of January 2008, you can find on the Revenue's website. I'll give them to you now, but as I say, have a look on the Revenue's website, you'll find them there. For 1400cc or less, the smaller cars, the petrol rate is 11 pence, diesel rate is also 11 pence, and the LPG rate is 7p. For cars in the middle bracket between 1401cc and up to 2000cc, the rate is 13p for petrol, 11 pence for diesel, and 8 pence for LPG. And then the big cars, any cars over 2 litres, it's 19p for petrol, 14p for diesel, and it's 11p for LPG. These are advisory rates, and HMRC has stated that there's no obligation to use its published rates. However, it's obviously advisable to use them unless the employer has a dispensation agreeing to the reimbursement of higher amounts, or to the employees using lower rates for repaying the private travel. Alternatively, the employer will have to be able to justify higher rates by providing proof that the cost of fuel is higher for the particular car or cars. This may occur, for example, where the cars are 4x4 cars, Land Rovers, for example, or they tow in trailers carrying equipment. It may be cars on building sites where the mileage is slow and it's going to use more petrol. But there must be justification for it. The question we have to ask is whether the correct rates are in use, and particularly is the amount recovered from employees sufficient to cover the cost of all their private fuel. If not, there may be a pay-as-you-earn and a national insurance liability on the excess where the business mileage is genuine. The revenue, to be fair, have been quite good about this. So they say if there is an excess, if you're paying too much or reimbursing too little, but it's genuine business mileage, they'll only tax an NIC the excess. But they will apply fuel scale charges if they find that the business mileage recording is inadequate. So if that goes back to the point I've already made, business mileage recording needs to be accurate.